Penguin Audio presents The Invisible Ones, written by Steph Penny, read by Dan Stevens. Part 1. Civil Twilight. Evening. Chapter 1. St. Luke's Hospital. When I woke up, I remembered nothing apart from one thing, and little enough of that. I remember that I was lying on my back while the woman was straddling me, grinding her hips against mine. I have a feeling it was embarrassingly quick, but then it had been a while. The thing is, I remember how it felt, but not what anything looked like. When I try to picture her face, I can't. When I try and picture the surroundings, I can't. I can't picture anything at all. I try. I try really hard, because I'm worried. After some time, one thing comes back to me. The taste of ashes. As it turns out, the memory loss may be the least of my problems. Technically, I'm in a state of diminished responsibility. That is what the police conclude after paying me a visit in my hospital bed. What I had done was drive my car through a fence and into a tree in a place called Downham Wood, near the border between Hampshire and Surrey. I had no idea where Downham Wood was, nor what I was doing there. I don't remember driving through any fences into any trees. Why would I? Why would anyone do that? One of the nurses tells me that the police aren't going to pursue the matter under the circumstances. What circumstances? This is what I try to say, but my speech isn't too clear. My tongue feels thick and listless. The nurse seems used to it. I'm sure it'll come back to you, Ray. She picks up the right arm that lies like a lump of meat on the bed beside me and smooths the sheet before putting it back. Apparently, what happened was this. A jogger was beating his regular morning path through the wood when he saw a car that had run off the road and come to a stop against a tree several yards in. Then he realized there was someone in the car. He ran to the nearest house and called the police. They arrived with an ambulance, a fire engine, and cutting equipment. To their surprise, the person inside the car didn't have a scratch on him. At first they assumed he was drunk. Then they decided he must be on drugs. The person in the car, me, was in the driver's seat, but could not speak or, apart from a convulsive twitching, move. It was the first day of August, which went on to develop into a breathless day of milky, inky blue, like August days are supposed to be, but so rarely are. This much was relayed to me by someone I don't remember as I lay in my hospital bed. Whoever it was told me that for the first 24 hours I was unable to speak at all. A paralysis locked my tongue and throat muscles, as well as the rest of me. My pupils were dilated. My pulse raced. I was burning hot. When I tried to talk, I could only produce a gurgling series of unintelligible sounds. In the absence of external injuries, they were waiting for the test results that would tell them whether I had suffered a stroke or had a brain tumour or was indeed the casualty of a drug overdose. I couldn't close my eyes, even for a second. During that time, I don't think I was particularly bothered by what had caused this. Confused, delirious, immobile, I was plagued by a nightmarish vision that I couldn't pin down. I wasn't at all sure I wanted to pin it down. It disturbed me because it felt like a memory, but that cannot be the case because a woman, however mysterious, is not a dog or a cat. A woman does not have claws or fangs. A woman does not inspire horror. I keep telling myself this. I'm confusing hallucinations with memories. I am not responsible. With any luck, the whole thing was, like the first three series of Dallas, all a dream. Now someone looms over me, her face dominated by heavy black-rimmed glasses, blonde hair scraped back off a high, rounded forehead. She reminds me of a seal. She's holding a clipboard in front of her.
"Well, Ray, how are you feeling? The good news is you haven't had a stroke."
She seems to know who I am. And I know her from somewhere, so perhaps she has been every day. She's speaking rather loudly. I'm not deaf. I try to say so, but nothing very recognizable comes out.
"And there's no sign of a..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?